question if this paper is relevant in other countries as well, and especially you, but also maybe other countries. And if the, if it is relevant, then the next step would be how we can collaborate, how we make a general proposal. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Then first, Edgar, 5 or 10 minutes.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think it's not so much about the paper. You can the paper, you can find the paper on the internet, so I can provide the URL for everybody who wants to see. I think it's more about the process, where we are, and what we want to communicate then as part of this process at this moment. Where we are coming from is that we had in the Netherlands, at a certain point, our parliament voting unanimously for Save Money. So this thing that Mr. Orbanius advises to do has proved itself already successfully in that this is something that can have political traction. So at that time, politicians were made aware that people don't have an option to keep their money safe without getting it as cash from the bank, but it's not safe either because it can be robbed. So if you are always obliged, if you want to have it digitally, to lend it out to the bank, to invest it in a business. So we made politicians aware of that, and then they say, well, why don't we have the option to freely choose for a safe account? So it's more or less the same as what the Volkeld proposal was in Switzerland, but the big difference was that we made it voluntary. So it was not mandatory that the system should be like this, but also to give people the option, let them be able to choose for that. So that got the unanimous yes vote. From that on, the system in the Netherlands, the Minister, Finance Ministry was asked to put in writing how this safe account could be created. And he did that together with the Dutch Central Bank. And I got a kind of communication that went through the parliament, because they had to do that as a reporting to the parliament, in which they finally concluded, well, it cannot be done because of technicalities. Technical things, because of how it works in the European Union, and we could not do that on our own within the Netherlands. We needed Marie Blaken to be happy with it. Marie Blaken already walked in a way that showed that people would listen to this proposal. So we were unable to do that in the Netherlands, and at the same time, there was a process that the scientific council that advised the government was doing a study on this subject. So the minister could say, well, wait until the study of the policy, because then we will know what we have to do. So this lingered on for 3 years, and then recently the study came out, and what actually this scientific board says is not how to do it, it only pushes the ball back to Parliament, says yes, we should do it. And so now the ball is back in Parliament that we should have something like this, the same bank account. We got a lot of media exposure for that, and that showed that the media did not understand what this was about. They did not understand that this was about having access to the central bank balance sheet, directly or indirectly. We were talking about the post office coming back and all kind of trivialities that has nothing to do and not that much to do with the subject. But I think now the people that that matter do understand that the safe haven, which was recommended by the scientific council, that is giving access to the central bank directly or indirectly. Then the next thing that comes is that the bankers will say, oh, you cannot do that because that will put the financial system and us in danger, because people now have the option to take away our funding. So deposits are their funding, and we could be able then to take it away. That could be a problem. Then there is a decision taken by the Scientific Council, and also by the Riksbank, and also by the Sustainable Finance Lab of the Netherlands, that say, well, that is not that important. Actually, it's a good thing if people have the option to get that, or take some funding away, because this exposes the banks increasingly to market discipline, and this is what should happen. We cannot go on with protecting banks and removing market discipline and replacing it with prudential oversight.
Who's in the government?
Who said this?
The Scientific Council. The Scientific Council.
Oh, sir.
But we also heard the same story from the Riksbank, and we heard the same story from other influential group in the Netherlands. So this seems to be that kind of communist opinion which is appearing, which is countering the response of the banks. And this is part of the public debate that's evolving now. It starts with the safe bank account, then the problem it could create, and then the answer politically is that problem is not a problem. Let's just do it because we get market discipline, and that's good. So that's the current debate. Then we are part of the Eurozone, and we cannot do very much on our own. And we already know that Mario Draghi is not interested in the central bank digital currency, not interested in such a full reserve solution or something similar. So we're in a situation that, unlike, because it is different in Sweden and in England, there you have a more active central bank that is experimenting with giving access to the central bank balance sheet. But I see the situation in the Eurozone as an advantage in a way. Because, of course, it's good if the Bank of England and the Riksbank are willing to experiment and moving in a certain direction. But by doing that in-house, there's also not much of reporting to society. There's not much of a public debate about how they save money, but what it should look like. So we saw this attitude of Draghi as an opportunity to create something that would institutionalize the debate about safe money. So that brought us to this idea of that there should be a public repository. That's an institution that's not a bank, but that issues safe bank accounts, which are full reserve accounts. So this depository hands out bank accounts, and all the money it gets is at the central bank. So in fact, it's giving access to the central bank, and then indirectly. And at first, we had a proposal to do such a thing privately, but there were this technicalities that stood in the way. And now, from, well, not a very deep study, but from a quick scan, we conclude that those limitations that there were for the private depository are not there if the government doesn't. So if this is a public repository, those arguments that stopped it so far are irrelevant. So this is now the position that we bring to the politicians. We say, first you were unanimously in favor of the safe bank account, then you have to wait for 3 years to hear that it was actually that you are right. Scientists say, yes, we should have this. And now, well, it's still unknown how to create it. There were technicalities standing in the way of the private depository, so let's now do the public repository. And then part of the good thing here is that then what is considered safe money is within an institution, that's under the finance ministry, which is not under the competence of a central bank. Because everything which is in the competence of a central bank, the Eurozone, is out of the competence of the politicians. They are not in a position to ask questions. And now they can feel that we are the ones, as politicians, who are responsible for the safe bank account. And from that on, we hope that this deposit will come, and that we have discussion of the implications of it, and that it will be seen as a national thing instead of a central banking thing. So this is my introduction.
Yeah, thank you. And maybe two more remarks. So the report of the Dutch Scientific Research Council was published on January 17. So then we immediately afterwards we wrote this position paper and we sent it to a lot of politicians and to this quite influential Sustainable Finance Lab, but also to the Scientific Research Council. And what will happen in the Netherlands, so the government will react before the summer on this report, but also we expect on this position paper. This is it. So that's the process in the Netherlands. Are there questions?
Yes. Quite a number of questions.
Very good.
Try to be brief. Am I right to think that the depositories you are conceiving of, is that a public money and transaction management service? So in this sense, a payment service provider, a public payment service provider.
It could be, but we took we put forward another a different position. The depository only gives out the full reserve accounts.
Yeah.
But the payment services on top of it, so how to manage that full reserve account, is something which is given to commercial payment service providers.
But the money comes. excuse me, please. But the money comes from traditional current bank accounts. By way of transfer?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. And could you please, what is the Dutch word for your safe haven depositories?
Well, we could call it a publieke bewaringinstelling.
Aha, okay.
But that's a legal term, so we're looking for a fancy term for the general public.
No, but that's okay for me. Could you briefly answer why are private public service providers out of the question? Is that because why you say that the ECB would not agree?
But the essential thing is that they don't get access to the central bank. Only banks get access to that. And also not to Target 2. If they want to get access to Target 2, they had to apply for a banking license. They were under the deposits,
uh-huh,
guarantees, and they had to pay for that. And then.
And you are sure this is so within the euro area?
Yeah.
We went through this as a process in which there was a dialogue between the central bank, the finance ministry, and this entity that wanted to do deposit.
Uh-huh.
That's on paper, it's in writing.
Yeah.
With lawyers present, so
that
length.
Also, we are in an unhappy situation, but I think in countries outside the euro area, it's different. I think that
Great Britain, for example.
Yes, the Bank of England definitely said it would.
Yeah,
it wanted to open its balance sheet.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
They are also said we want to give payment service providers access to our settlement system.
Yeah.
So they are already on the way to creating something similar.
Yeah.
To what we are now proposing as this public depository.
Yeah.
But that's in house. That's in the central bank. So that's not. It's not monitored by the public.
Yeah. Okay. So, another question. I stop then. But another question. Why would so that argument that if you offer such a service, why would this take, as you have said, why would this take funds away from banks? In which sense?
Because it's full reserve. So the bank only have the fraction of reserve.
Yes, and you mean so the banks, in a transfer, the banks will have to transfer reserves, excess reserves, to these depositories, and
the depository will get all those reserves
and this will need more refinancing with the central bank or at the open market.
Might be.
Uh-huh.
But that depends on how successful it is.
Well, but this would still be a fractional reserve banking because I mean all the banks have constantly to make transfers into state body transaction accounts with the central bank, isn't it?
So
that works perfectly well. So simply say it's an analogy to this. Why are you so worried about that?
So
okay.
Nothing really changes in the system.
Okay.
But the benefit is, you could say, is that both banks and payment service providers and technology companies can offer to the public exactly the same kind of payment service, which is a full reserve payment service. So we call it the safe account. Apple can give a safe account. ING can give a safe account on exactly the same terms. And every new startup can provide safe accounts. And the safe account is held at the depository. But the interfacing, the IT around it, that's free money.
Now I see, thank you.
I'm combining the question to Josef in that subject. I understand when you say full reserve account, as we know, let's say 90-95% or whatever of the money volume is, say, actually bank money, credit money. Now, assume 40%, 35% of the public, of the savings, will be suddenly in the same level. That means, it means that automatically, actually, that these banks who offer the safe haven accounts should refinance that, as Joseph said, which brings actually a huge cost to the banks, somehow.
Huge.
Huge.
Oh, wow, huge. Somehow higher, I would say.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Somewhat
this,
higher,
this,
not,
this
not really
not
huge.
Question. This is not, but because somehow higher or huge. This I wanted to talk, because don't you think it is actually a little bit costly, at least? They have to finance themselves,
yeah.
Let's say seigniorage. Then would go to the central bank in Holland for this safe haven amount. Seigniorage would go to the central bank, because the commercial banks has to refinance that. And why little bit or huge? Because the interests are now less, so therefore it is a little bit maybe. But don't forget, if the time comes and the interest rates increase again to 5%, 7%, then this cost is huge.
Don't worry, we would then have a system crash altogether anyway.
But is that not right? So
yes, but most important thing that would happen, let's say that every bank should refinance at the central bank. That nothing really would change apart from one thing, that is, account holders normally lend their money to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
They think they save, they lend money by the bank and don't get collateral. Mm-hmm. So they have no special rights they can take when the bank goes bankrupt. When the central bank gives credit to the bank, that collects collateral. So the big difference that's happening is that collateral is a must at the central bank balance sheet. So if the depository is very successful, the central bank will grow and collect collateral.
Yes.
And this is part of the story, but it's not part of the story that we're telling about this depository, because politicians don't want to look too much ahead. We just say no.
Save them.
We are giving people the option to put their money safely, and it might cost something to the banks, but it's good in a way, because it's competition, market discipline coming to the banks, and we put it together. So it's for
them. Yeah, exactly. So I think that's so it's very important. So what we did, so also to make it acceptable for transition, so we said there is a cap. So a ceiling or a limit, so in the beginning 10,000, and the next year 20,000, 30,000, and then you can manage the system and change.
I just want to say, we should maybe take it just in our heads, all country organizations maybe could take the same step. Why I am saying that?
Yeah.
Because this is now the time to do that. Why? Interests are very low. This is actually the issue why I wanted to bring to that point and ask this question. Now it is time for this kind of movement, a partial positive money. So I don't know, somehow. Mm-hmm.
Two more questions. Yes.
I'd like to think is this, for instance, under the EU law, the Payment Service Directive, too, like a payment entity, would have an account in this safe haven as well? Because right now, with the situation for the new payment system provided, is that they need an account in a bank, which is very crazy. Because they are competitors to the bank. They're supposed to make the competition to the banks, and they have to have an account in the bank to do that.
They depend on their competitors.
Exactly.
That's one of our points.
Exactly. So this is like the kind of account that payment providers will have.
Can also share.
Yeah.
So they can short bit to the banks.
Freeze them from banks.
They can directly access the money.
To me, it seems very much look alike as these e-commerce accounts. The one question is, will there be any interest rate on these safe haven accounts?
We don't mention that in our position paper because that would be another discussion which we don't want to trigger at this point. But in our view, this is the predecessor of the digital cash.
So it will not, in your view.
So it should be.
But to me, it's very important to, because if you do not have it this way, these accounts have a big, a large support from the central bank. So it has to have it. I mean, it will be full reserve bank, say. But it means that they will have full access to central bank money whenever they like. That's not the case normally. And if you create that within the Eurozone, this entity will have a privilege compared to the others. It will not be fair competition.
I don't think so. What is with the state body transaction accounts? It's not a refinancing account. It's a mere transaction account. And do government balances with the central bank, do they have deposit interest? Do they fetch deposit interest?
But in the US, they don't.
So there is no problem here.
But the central bank in Sweden, at least, we have the base rate. The banks can borrow from the central bank and they have to pay basically the base rate for that. So this is interest rate.
But you also says that the government is having an account now. Right? The depository is the government. It has an account with the central bank. And you say these are not remunerated. There's no interest.
Yes, it's a mere transaction account.
Yeah, but
it's no refinancing.
But that's the state accounts. They are just transferring. They never hold anything. They're always zero before closing on the bank. Every month. Mm-hmm. That's the way they are transaction accounts. The interest rate that the banks pay are what they have often during the night.
But your argument is that the government has an exception on it.
What means exception?
Yeah, so for the interest rate.
What he's saying is that the government's balance, I mean, maybe in Sweden they operate like New Zealand where they declare their balance every day.
Yes, they clear every day.
But in the US, the Treasury, since the Fed started paying interest on reserves, the Treasury has been collecting all of the money, hasn't been keeping them in commercial bank accounts, it's been collecting it all and keeping it in the Treasury's account to reduce the amount of loss that the Fed would pay to the Treasury at the end of the year. So all of the any money that the Treasury collects is kept in the Treasury General Account of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, but there's no interest paid on it. It's just a transactional account, like Joseph was saying, and it seems like most of the countries in Europe
are
the same.
My knowledge is.
But that's not the way it works in Sweden. I wonder how it is in Eurozone.
But
the safe haven stuff, to me, it seems that they are sort of have a prioritized position because they're compared to others.
Yeah.
So how can that work? How could you get the ECB to acknowledge that?
There's no interest. There's no interest that would be the status apart then?
Yeah, then it will be work like the e-crown accounts. And then we have the problems for a government and then this bank that you know, when the interest rates are high, then nobody will use it.
Well,
and when it's below zero, everybody will do that. So it will be unbalanced.
But I don't think so. Let's leave this question. So the open, more research has to be done. Final question by Klaus.
I didn't understand the mechanism. How did you say central bank will have new collateral in this amount?
When the central bank extends credit, it asks for collateral. And when we extend credit, that means saving money at banks. We don't ask the bank for collateral. We just trust the bank.
Mm.
The central bank doesn't trust the bank, ask for collateral. Okay.
So it's...
What Inga was meaning...
Central bank is giving new credit to commercial banks and ask for collateral.
Yeah.
On these transactions.
Okay. It's free.
Okay.
And then the next question is this proposal or this approach also relevant for other countries?
Well, I think it's relevant for every country.
Yeah.
Well, if I were in the UK and the central bank is already saying we're working on that, I would not have a case in Parliament. But we had a case in Parliament because Draghi said, I'm not interested, I'm not going to do it. So America, they vote for it, but we also want to, would like to do this together in the Eurozone, of course. But I don't see it as a case in Sweden because there's no another dynamic, and in England another dynamic, and I think the multi-road dynamic is even better. So that you can cross links, so you can exchange notes, share experiences. So this is good that there are multi-tracks.
I wonder, is it, are the accounts only open for Dutch citizens or all over the world?
Well, I don't think we will get away with it with only Dutch citizens in the Eurozone.
Bono would want it.
but it is a good question because in the end, if you go to a digital cash system, you cannot combine it with complete freedom of digital cash flows. There has to be complete control of it actually. So I would design it that it is a personal thing, and we want to cap it. And capping it means that it's a personal thing. It is personally kept. It's not kept per account. It's kept per person. So that would be a design requirement for me, especially thinking it as a step into the direction of going to digital cash.
Jamie?
Yeah, just that's very good that you make it per person, because in America people game the system. Yeah, big account holders like massive corporations. There are companies that specialize, the registry companies that specialize in breaking up their multi-billion-dollar accounts into lots of little accounts of $250,000, so that they're all covered by FDIC insurance.
Yeah,
with IT, that's easy to do.
Yeah.
You cannot escape from making it personal and identifiable. And of course, that's the debate in itself. And we don't want to have that debate now, we only want to have the same account, so we don't mention it.
That's good.
And in the US, the government entities can have accounts at the Federal Reserve. I mean, the main one is Treasury, but there's other quasi-government entities that have accounts at the Federal Reserve. And of course, the US Post Office, it's basically a sub-account of the Treasury General Account. It could operate a public depository. You know, it could be done under current law, like in the EU. As I understand it, I haven't studied in detail, but just from first thinking about it.
Excuse me, Sergio, what is the post-finance, postal finance in Switzerland? Could that bank, that used to be a public bank, isn't it, formerly?
Yeah, it used to be public, now it has a special statute, which is mixed private and public.
Yes, that's why I asked, couldn't they offer such safe depositories?
I guess they could, because it's the only quasi public banking entity in Switzerland. They could do that.
It was German Postgiro was.
Yeah, it doesn't exist any longer.
But
it's now part of Deutsche Bank, and they are bankrupt.
But it was like this before.
We have been told.
Yes, formally.
And it exists in one of the Baltic states, so we can also say it's not that exotic.
Spain has a lot of these.
At least
another
question,
Susana, because cajas rurales agrícolas. How do you translate that into English? Cajas rurales agrícolas. Very important thing. They had this kind of safe deposits always. Cajas rurales agrícolas.
Sounds good.
Agricola. Landwirtschaftliche Sparkasse.
Yeah.
Finishing a question.
That was where the French Crédit Agricole came from.
Crédit Agricole.
Yes.
Wait,
please.
Your question was, should the save haven accounts not give at least interest? Now I ask another question related to that. Because they are safe on one hand, and because the commercial bank would have low or high costs, would that be not also an issue where the commercial bank came up and say, for these accounts, I want like minus 1% interest. So that means administrative costs of, for example, 1% per year. Maybe this is also possible. So, you know, so, and then, because you asked, you said, if the interests are higher, so no one would go there. But on the other hand, if the interests are higher, and there is an administrative cost of minus one or two, then suddenly it is still there, positive interest for the safe haven as well, somehow. So therefore, I don't know, that could be also maybe a solution. Maybe some people could be ready to pay for this safe haven, say 0.5% a year, like today when many people go to Swiss franc and bring their money to Switzerland, they have to pay minus interest. Just to have an idea. So.
But they could also they could also hold the money at Deutsche Bank and be sure that it's safe because Deutsche Bank is too big to fail.
It's a little bit more risky.
Pragmatic cynism.
But I'm not sure because we've talked with Thomas Mayer about that, the former chief economist of Deutsche Bank, and he has also thought of implementing safe deposits with the bank, and they calculated it, and then they asked customers, I think, and they said, no, actually not, we're not going to pay for that. Because there are so many other banks around that are systemically relevant, and so if I put my money there, then it's basically safe because the government's going to step in if that something goes wrong, so I'm not going to pay effectively right now, because I'm not going to have to pay it.
Yeah. So basically, Deutsche Bank was saying, we may be considering creating safe deposits, but in exchange for a commission.
Mm-hmm.
Is that? But for instance, you know, Folger proposed also, the third proposal was to have a current account outside the bank's balance sheet.
Mm-hmm.
So why not? It's not an option. Just to have current account outside bank's balance sheets.
In custody.
Can't just custody. Why not simply that?
Well, wouldn't that come down to holding a 100% reserve?
Yeah, exactly. It's the same.
For the current account, for people that want to have, it's the same.
But that's not cost competitive on the entire market.
Because the banks will charge a commission, you mean?
Yeah. Necessarily, yes.
Yeah.
And that was the reason why that idea was not followed more 8-10 years ago, because of that.
Even when interest rates were higher than... Yes. Because if interest rates are higher...
No, but there was a
sense... They pay zero interest.
No, yes, sure, right, and there was a sense of... But the important thing was there was a sense of high uncertainty, a sense of crisis. And so particularly the wealth managers and the larger companies that always have millions of euros on a current account, and they were interested in such safe haven, 100% reserve deposit, that simply for the deposit managing bank, it's too expensive. And so they have charged.
These institutional cash managers.
And so they... Of course, they would have to charge that extra cost onto that. Even under conditions of crisis, they felt it's too expensive.
But even these extra costs, the same costs that will come to the same end.
Yeah. Yeah, but we have limits, and that's
no.
The, yeah, but that makes it important.
No, I don't see that. Why?
Well, I think that for instance, sort of the cost is safety, digital safety here. So, and when there is fraud, in for normal banks, they have to compensate. So when money is stolen digitally, they have to compensate.
Yeah, well, wait a moment. That's the same everywhere. I mean, we have to make a distinction between the cost of handling deposits. It's one thing, including the safety, the security, and so on. The other question is the financing or the refinancing of
banks.
The money. You know, these are two different things, and. Cost of financing or refinancing the money for your depositories, that would not be higher, that would actually be less, because the depositories are simply managers of already existing money, isn't it? And those who have to provide for the reserves, so to say, in conventional usage. So that's a problem for the banks and the central bank. It's not a problem for your depositories, am I right? Did I? No?
Yes. Yeah, I do agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Two more quick questions or remarks. Then we could go to the final step.
All right. So I'm going to ask you once again, who can open an account on the new bank? And only Dutch people or anybody in the world?
Not anybody in the world.
The Eurozone.
I think Europe, because you cannot deny other Europeans access to the free capital market.
Okay, so this could lead to very much capital coming into
so that could be a showstopper in the world.
It
should have its own depository at the same time, and then it should be said that Italian money should be an Italian depository, for
instance.
That could be. It could be in certain scenarios, yes.
And if you think back to Thomas Mayer, I mean, I'm talking about the Frankfurt conference now, but Thomas Mayer, ex-chief economist of Deutsche Bank, told us about the possibility of a euro crisis due to capital flows from Southern Europe to Northern Europe, and that would, of course, then be a reason to propel this capital flow, right? So it could also be like a huge argument against it, because that would threaten the euro, because then the money would flow out of the cell. Target 2 balances would go even.
But it can happen now also. So
you can also book it to another Dutch bank, so there's no difference. And again, the essence here, in my view, is still caps, so limits.
Yeah.
So that's the essence of the proposal.
And maybe one last question on that. Am I correct that I'm not sure if I understood you correct. So it should pay zero interest, right? Because it's risk-free, it should pay zero interest.
That's our attitude.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. But now you say, just like PSD2, everybody could then, for example, Apple Pay, Deutsche Bank, whoever wants to, not Deutsche Bank, Rabobank, they can offer these accounts. Why should they do it? Because how would they make money? What is their incentive to do so? They could easily say, no, I don't. Honestly, it's not profitable for us. I'm not going to do it.
You pay for
payments.
Yeah.
Well,
so
you don't have a bank account anymore. You have your account.
It has to start with demand, of course. People need to want it. And of course, when there are deposit guarantees, there's little incentive for the small people, not the cash manager, but the small people to want it. When we started the Depositor Market Initiative, we got 2,500 customers for it. And those were lunatics supporting us. So the idiot is against
the real
every rationality would do this and pay for that. But it would not grow bigger than that.
Okay.
But we have to start small. It must be socially accepted as a means of payment. But first, let it mature technologically and socially. And then after a while, say, well, we have the same option. Why do we have deposit guarantees at all?
Yeah.
So this should be incentive to make so it credibly used.
Deposit insurance.
So this whole slide that Ardalia shows,
but I'm
take away the privileges,
that's the second step.
In fact, the goal, that's the incentive. So, to
in a way, we do exactly what Ordóñez is proposing. So first, get access to the central bank, and then the second step is abolish gradually deposit insurance schemes and other privileges.
So my question was regarding to the providers. So Apple Pay, whoever, Apple Bank, why would they do it? You say the payments, the transaction payments.
Yeah.
From our, because we also looked into it, me and my friend in Germany, of. Solution with the payment service provider, and it seems like payment transactions are really costly actually.
Wow.
And commercial banks actually subsidize it through other sectors because it's really costly and they don't give us the true cost. We don't have to pay the true cost.
Yeah.
In that sense, customers would have to pay the true cost, which would, as far as the information we found, would be quite high actually.
Or you would say this is a public service.
Okay, and then it's subsidized by the...
And banks are already complaining in the Netherlands that they have to do the identifying against the terrorists and so.
Yeah.
And they already say, why isn't there one central institution from the government doing that for us? Well, it could be part of this depository, starting this.
Mm.
Yeah.
I suggest to go to the final step and to discuss briefly how we can collaborate. Because we can discuss for hours, I think, but that's important.
And
but we need some kind of structure
nice
if you can do it.
To go through those details,
yeah.
But it's also important in the political process to not mention them.
But how can we? Yeah, how can we elaborate all these details, all these questions, and all these different proposals?
I think we could try to see the likeness. We have I think this is pretty good. The same thing, an equivalent. But we have different surroundings. The context is different. So we could specify the differences in context together. So we have that specified in one way. That will help us in the discussions. Because something what is correct in the Eurozone is maybe not correct in Sweden.
In Turkey, does the post office
have a community strength? Because
yes.
That we know a lot. We will be very informed, in fact,
right.
by juxtaposing.
I think that just the argument that you mentioned for Spain, that some deposits might be flying to a safe bank in the European Central Bank.
Yes, but if Spain does the same thing, then there's no incentive for the Spanish people to apply to Amsterdam.
They have to do it as well. And you force them to implement as well.
Exactly.
That can be a very good strategy.
Actually,
two things.
Yeah.
First, answering your question, I would like to open an account with you, a safe bank account. And then the second part of the question would be, are there safe banks? I mean, who can guarantee that tomorrow we don't have an earthquake and that these banks go bankrupt anyway?
That's operational risk. You can't
It's a different than threat or liquidity risk.
Because money, after all, is trust. And nature, I'm afraid, is difficult to control, even though the gentleman attempts to.
But we must keep fiscal cash as well, so when the lights go out and the comet hits,
Fernandez Ordóñez said this morning, and I agree with Susan, who said that there would be a rather competitive happening if such took place.
Well, I think that either way, when there is an earthquake, physical assets
are
destroyed at
all. It could be something minor than that. Caja Madrid that goes bankrupt.
It's good for the economy.
Yeah.
At least so.
Life as such is risky.
I actually have mentioned at the earlier part of this workshop, but for me, perhaps I came up with the idea that perhaps it's better, even better to keep this kind of central bank issued currency to the national level. Although we live in Eurozone, this is perhaps as a transition, you say, That means on one hand we will go on using euro for the whole eurozone, but on the other side we'll have maybe Dutch CDBC, maybe Spanish CDBC, Greek CDBC, and so on, to keep some room for the national economy to have their own sovereignty.
Just a different proposal, but
in the Netherlands that circulates as well, and there it's called the Matteo solution. But we don't support that. That's Matteo is supporting his solution, and we are doing ours. We think that we don't need exchange rates within the eurozone. What we need is to reduce debt burdens, and then we can level economies as well. So we don't need to have the peseta and the drachma back in place. But we need to reduce debt. That's the problem.
Klaus.
To have these accounts or not, it's quite an easy question. I think it's everyone could understand it. Do you want it? Do you want it not? So maybe it could be subject of a petition.
Yeah.
Because it's easy. Also, would have been the better question for a referendum in Switzerland, because it's easy. Yeah? You can decide yes or no, you can understand it immediately. And maybe I'm too sure, always reluctant about petitions, because if you make a petition, you have need at least 100,000 votes, otherwise it's in the paper basket. But maybe this time, if it's in different countries, maybe it could be a success, I don't know.
Because it's such an easy question.
Yeah, it's really an easy question.
Everyone understands it, and everyone feels maybe it's better to have it safe.
It could make a feeling of European citizens. You need a million votes then, but we could do it. And then
maybe. It's just an idea, it's not finished.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
So, in the United States, you have credit unions, and people put their money in there because some of them don't like banks, so they put their money in there, and it's more like a community bank. They make loans, but they pool the money and they loan it. My question is, what are people in the population really going to be learning about the system?
Well, we call it a safe account. And that's, I think that bankers will disagree with that thing. They'll say, call it whatever, but a safe account, because when people save money on the bank, that should be perceived as safe. And it's our position to say, no, people should learn that that is putting your money at risk. You get interest, but you also get risk. And while we are reducing the deposit insurance schemes, then people have to become aware that when they lend their money to a bank, they are investing in the bank. And that implies risk. At the end of the road, the deposit should not be a deposit anymore, but a security. So something which has a daily changing value, the real value, the intrinsic value of it, and not be at par with the currency.
So there's a gradual understanding more by the populace of what's going on, population of what's going on.
I don't expect that, and they are not a real play. They were important when we started, when the theater makers brought it to the television, and then it was important because at that time it was new to know that banks create money, and that caused kind of a stir. But now we are already used to this, so this would not be the situation now anymore in the Netherlands.
You need
to find something else.
You need another story, another
time. But I don't have the feeling that a safe bank account is something that we can raise the masses and go to the politicians. For us, at the current stage, it is because it's now coming to the parliament, the parliamentarians have to think about it. They are the ones we have to target. The politicians that are in the office now, and we not so much need to communicate with the whole population at this moment with this case
But maybe in another time you find another case that it's more has traction with the population.
Klaus.
I understand now a very specific reason to do it now in Netherlands. For international cooperation, it was only much help to have your example if you decide. So you concentrate the energy on Netherlands. Because I don't know, I'm always skeptical about petitions in Germany and to mobilize. It's a lot of work. Huh? But if you have, the example in Netherlands, you can go to the German parliament. It's very, very helpful for us. Because you are a Euro country, and it would be really helpful. So that's the other.
But the step would be to bring it to the European parliament. And that should be the cooperation.
Sure. But what should the European parliament do about this? They don't have to say anything.
They want to have a dialogue with, a meaningful dialogue with the central bank. And now they're in a position that they. That Draghi comes to them is polite once in a few months. Will ask the questions that he is willing to give an answer to, and that's it. So parliamentarians don't have any hold on the ECB.
Yeah.
But and this won't change.
This could be something for them. This could be a scenario in which they gain some. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
This is the reason. This is the reason why this could be a successful scenario. This is why I'm very
interested. I tend to agree with that. I had experiences over the years with several members of parliament, of the European parliament, and definitely they didn't understand what I was talking about in the end. But safe accounts, that may be something. So
it's understandable. If you don't understand that, then
yes,
you're almost.
Yes, that's right. Klaus, of course, you need to start somewhere, but I wouldn't say I see a chance for our member NGOs in the Euro area to push for something together, not just saying. Well, let the Dutch go ahead and see where they will end.
But how should you collaborate in this process? So the how question?
Yeah, we should think about it. One step would certainly be the European Parliament.
Yeah.
Approaching all of our representatives there. And by the way, have you? So you certainly have talked to Stan Jourdan. Yes, when
about this specific thing,
not yet.
No.
Well, I think if Positive Money Europe has a purpose, then for example, this one.
Yeah.
One moment. The time is kind of up, so please wrap it up and come to close, and then let's break for 10 minutes.
Okay. I was waiting for a long time already. So.
All right. So how do you see? If I understand correctly, the Parliament vote is this summer, or what?
No.
It gives an official reaction on the report.
Okay.
So the government will have a reaction, then there will be 5 years. And then after a while there will be something in Parliament, and then depends on the Parliament state initiative, and there will be anything to go.
How do you
believe that this comes to pass, and that nothing will be done with those ideas, and this chance is lost?
How do you see your possibilities?
Well, I'm in a positive mood. But when we talk to bankers, their introducing statement is that nothing will happen. The government is against it, they know that already, and they have a feeling that the parliament and the right-wing party that's dominating now will put this to a vote. So they are very confident that nothing will happen. But we have some parliamentarians that are generally getting really aware, getting really clever about it. So there is an important.
So the right topics are discussed, but we don't know yet who is going to vote for it.
Could you actually produce a framework of some sort of that would actually help other countries to be part of the
Well, what we're doing is now and then
translate something of what we produce also to English. Yeah. We put that online. And that's what we can provide.
I'm thinking more of a directed framework, which would ask them specific questions based on your experience, which would help them translate it into a local situation.
What would be interesting?
I think the government entities allowing being able to have accounts at central bank and have access to Target 2 would be the same in all Euro zone countries, wouldn't it? It would be the same in Ireland, it would be the same in...
Target 2 is the same then everywhere, but England and Sweden don't have Target 2, so
but
the Euro.
But countries like Ireland that use the Euro, they should have come under the same Euro rules.
That's exactly the same. More or less, on a very detailed level, that can be changed, but that's details and mostly not important things.
I recommend to wrap it up now, because otherwise there's no break. And
okay, thank you all. Thank you all for participating.